And good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition live from Boomer Jacks of Spits and Suds. What a banger we have tonight. Thanks to all of you that are showing up and all of you that are listening. You guys are amazing. I just want to say, a few years ago, somebody came up to me and said, how's your little podcast doing? So I say to you, how's that little podcast doing tonight? Yeah. That's right. Not bad. Hey, listen, Matt Rudisill is here from the On Time Experts. And the on-time experts make Spits and Suds happen. Can't say enough. You guys hear all the time that I use the on-time experts for my pipes, for my AC. Took advantage of that $59 first-time customer HVAC special. That was awesome. My pipes took care of for $99. Matt, tell us why you get involved in hockey specifically and why you're involved as far as official sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys, official partner of the Dallas Stars. How'd you guys get involved in sports?
Well, we had an opportunity to get involved with Dallas Stars. Something opened up. It's a badass team, and we've got a badass team, and we just believe that you put two really good brands together, and you get something good out of it. So this partnership's been 1 year with the Dallas Stars. We are super pumped on it. Yeah, we love our orange Zambonis. We get a kick out of it every time they're out on the ice, whether we're at the arena or whether we're at a Star Center. We get totally pumped on it. But I'll tell you, out of all the sponsorships that we have, honestly, it's like the Dallas Stars customers and the Dallas Stars fans tend to be like the most grounded, the most fun, the easiest to hang with. So we do really appreciate you guys, and thank you for having us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if any of your technicians complain about a guy like pumping his fist while you guys are driving, because every time I'm driving, and I saw one today, we were driving up here and I saw the on-time experts and I'm like, there's a customer for life.
Yeah.
So if I'm a stalker, I apologize. No. You guys do amazing work.
So you're saying our guys are pumping their fists?
No, I'm pumping, pumping my fist at them and they're like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Like, that dude's excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And to me, I'm like, there's a customer for life waiting to happen.
Yes.
So listen, guys, I can't say enough about the on-time experts. This event tonight is happening because of Boomer Jacks and the on-time experts. So please, they have a booth over here and you can register to win Stars tickets as well as other great merchandise they have. And I promise you, if the on-time experts comes to your house, you will be completely satisfied and you will be a customer for life. I say it all the time. 4.8 out of 5 stars, nearly 6,000 customers said that. That's amazing, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you coming out. Let's give it up for Matt at the on-time experts. All right, let's welcome. We have a panel of panels tonight. Every time I talk about the Texas Stars, love myself some Texas Stars, I get a lot of info. I always recommend that you go down to Cedar Park. When you go down to Cedar Park, you can always contact 100 Degree Hockey, and he drove up for Austin for this podcast from 100 Degree Hockey. Give it up for Steven Mazur. You can follow him online at 100 Degree Hockey. And the guy to my right, just hired at NHL.com. Heard of that website before. He also hosts StarsThoughts.com. We knew him when he was small, and now I'm surprised he's even here tonight with the ego that's developing. The greatness of Robert Tiffin. We'll have Leah Simakopoulos coming up. We'll have Sean Shapiro coming up. We are going to be here for a while. Okay. You guys know I love my lettuce from my hockey players, all right? One of the all-time favorites, a couple of people tonight said, of course you invited Cross Hannes. He's your favorite. One of my all-time favorites, the greatness of Cross Hannes. And by the way, just put up his best numbers as a Texas Star. And it wouldn't be a podcast. This was such a surprise when Cross texted me and said, all right, if Pops comes, it's time for some story time. The greatness of Trevor Hannes. Okay, I'm going to start with you, Pops, because I've been telling Cross that I'm not a great skater, but I really feel like, can I be invited to your private skate that you do? Tell me some of the names that happens at this skate, and how can we be a part of it?
Well, I know that at our rink, we do a lot of private lessons, and a lot of us coaches at Valley Ranch, we do kids all the way from like six, seven years old all the way to like 18, 19, and a lot of these guys even at 20, 21, 22, that kind of stuff. But we ran this alumni skate that we did for basically 3 days a week all summer long, and then we had an alumni skate last night, had a really good turnout, and probably had about... Valley Ranch was about three quarters full.
Yep.
And
nice.
It was really good to see just a lot of kids that have gone through our program over the last, we started our program probably 2010, so it's probably been about 16 years. And we've seen a lot of kids go through our program and go on to college, Division I, and then NHL drafted. And I think now we've had about maybe 15 or 16 kids NHL drafted out of our program. But if you want a lesson, I can give you a private lesson.
Oh, can we bring the chair out so I can?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll give you about a few minutes of the chair, and then we're putting that to the bench.
Okay, all right. Now, will you teach me how to properly drop the mitts? Because, I mean, I hear that in your day. The funny thing about, as we were talking earlier, the PIMS, which means penalty minutes, were way up there, but you had some points too.
Well, I mean, that's a little deceiving on the PIMS with those numbers, because they were recording a lot of the 10-minute misconducts, so I've had a few of those. But, you know, when I played hard, and, you know, if someone is going to whack me back in the day, the game has changed a lot now, today, compared to it was back when I was playing juniors in the 90s, and then a little bit of pro in the 2000s. But, you know, it was, you have to defend for yourself a lot out there. And there was guys out there that were strictly there to cause havoc on the ice. So, you know, if they're going to take a run at one of our players, you got to stick up for yourself and your teammates. So, I mean, I didn't like to get into fights, but obviously it was a part of the game, and you have to drop your mitts to kind of protect yourself. So, I mean, I did it a few times a year, but that wasn't what I wanted to be known for. I did like to score goals and make plays. So... those numbers were there too, but the PIMS racked up because, you know, if there's some clutching and grabbing or some whacking or some hitting, you know, slashing on the back of the knees, I was giving it back to them. So I'm going to the box too.
Did those slashing of the knees make Cross what he is today?
I don't know.
I would say that Cross in his game, I do see resemblance in his game with my game. But he's a much better player than I was.
Not much of a fighter, though.
No. All right. Tell us, if you could, Cross, your storyline. Great year in Texas, and now you're heading to the Providence Bruins. Off season, how's it been?
Yeah, it's been a good year. Obviously, last year coming out of the Detroit Red Wings organization was a little bit different of a summer when I heard I wasn't going back there, and... didn't really hear from too many teams for a while, and then it was a pretty crazy story what happened. One of the management guys for the Stars actually is one of my sister's best friend's dad. So we were at Marcus High School painting their spots for senior year, and my sister and Reese's were right next to each other, and Mr. Janko came one night when me and my brother crew over there were help painting and stuff, and we just got talking about hockey and whatever, and then ended up getting a invite like on a PTO to just come to camp and stuff and try to earn something, and so it all started by just us being there at the same time, and yeah, obviously got to earn a PTO down in Austin again, and then turn it into a contract, and had a pretty good year with it. So it was a pretty cool story, and obviously being a Texas kid, it was just it was a dream come true, just kind of being back in the Victory Green like I grew up playing, and it just means a lot to me. And this past year was best year of my life. So
yeah, as we've talked before, give it up for Cross. If there wasn't that dent in the ice that night, you would have scored in that Stars exhibition game, right? Because you had an open net, and I mean, no?
I'm glad you're bringing that up.
Well, listen, I'm saying I'm blaming the ice. I'm blaming the people.
Yeah, we'll blame that for sure, though.
I'm blaming not the on-time expert Zamboni, but the other Zamboni.
The other Zamboni, yeah.
Yeah,
we'll blame it on that, not that I just completely missed, so...
But it must have been amazing wearing that sweater and just skating around with the boys.
Dude, that was the coolest night of my life. Like I said, just growing up here, going to so many Stars games growing up, just them being, like watching Jamie and Seggy like my whole entire life basically, and then getting to be in a game with them at the AAC, it was so special. And like they made it all so special for me because they knew I was from here, and the equipment managers made it fun, and Jamie actually hid my helmet for warm-ups, which was pretty cool. I had to go out with him and Seggy with no helmet on. It was pretty funny, and it was a super cool time. Obviously, it was a really weird feeling preparing for a game in your own bed, if that makes sense. So and then driving downtown to the AC to play, it was kind of different. So it was really cool though.
What was it like having a guy like Steven cover you all year long?
Yeah, that was cool. That was really good. Yeah, I mean, he made us look really good. Yeah,
okay.
Really good.
I should also say, I think Cross is selling himself a little bit short in that game too, because he was fighting through an injury in that game on the bike, all second period or something like that, just to get back out there for that chance in the third.
Yeah, just a little tweak happened in the first, and couldn't really do too much on it in the second. Just kind of was getting some pictures done, and just tried to keep loose that I knew I couldn't come out of that game, obviously. It was coolest night of my life, so I had to get back out there. I had so many people there for me, and felt like the whole building was there for me. It was just like, it was a super cool feeling, and then obviously just missed that open net, which would have been cool. But
as a matter of fact, that night the teams that were supposed to be practicing that night canceled practice, and they all came to the game.
So it was
three or four teams that had practiced that night. So it was
nice.
Cool.
Pops, tell us about the relationship with the Bilka family. This is a relationship that you've had for a long time. We're talking about Hannah Bilka, U.S. gold medalist. We've had her on Spits and Suds a couple of times.
Well, so Hannah, I've known Hannah for quite a while. I never had a chance to actually coach her. She did play with the boys when she was a lot younger, and then went off to Shattuck St. Mary's. But I have done a lot of private lessons with her and lessons with other guys, like group lessons. And she skated in our alumni skates, not this year, but the past few years. And she's just an excellent girl that has just really a good knack for the net. And she plays, what I see with her game is she just plays everything with pace. She just moves the puck quick. She's always hard on pucks. She's back checking away from the puck and stuff like that. So, and she's got a knack for the net. She's a goal scorer, and she finds the back of the net. And with her being so, you know, kind of one of the young girls there with the Olympic team and getting gold, I mean, I see her being a force for the Americans for years to come.
Nice, nice. All right, yeah, go ahead, Robert.
I'd just like to hear both of you describe in brief. I've heard Cross talk a little bit about you coaching him when he was younger, and then at a certain point, it was determined maybe that shouldn't be happening anymore. What led to that decision? Yeah.
Well, first of all, maybe I'll just push it back. So, obviously, Cross is my firstborn, and you know, I'm the hockey dad that played professionally, and now I'm coaching, and so I wanted to get him on the ice early, 3-4 years old, and kind of get him going, be that hockey dad. And he didn't take to the ice too good off the start. He was kind of, you know, I don't want to be on the ice. And then, so it took about maybe half a year. And I said, well, come on down to Houston with Dad for a weekend. I had my one hockey team, the Pee Wee team, going to Houston for a weekend. And he came down with me, and he hung around the boys. They were like 12, 13, you know, in the locker room or outside the locker room or on the bench. And then I will never forget this. On the way home on I-45 coming home, he's sitting on the passenger seat, about 4.5 years old or whatever, and he looks at me and he goes, can I play hockey? And I'm like, you want to play? Are you ready? He goes, I'm ready. So I got him to Grapevine, got him in Polar Ice there for the remainder of the season. And then fast forward, the following few seasons, I coached him at Mite. He was playing with kids that were like 2 or 3 years older. So it was a challenge for him. But and then I did coach him the first. What's that?
A lot of tripping pims.
A lot of pims.
Oh, yeah. He had to use a stick to kind of catch up. But and then at the Stars Elite, when we got to Squirt Minor and Squirt Major, I was his coach for the first couple of years. But I always told him, I said, Cross, I'm your hockey coach at the rink. I'm not Dad at the rink, so I'm going to be treating you like everyone else and even harder, you know. And so, you know, he would kind of still think I'm Dad, and he would kind of think he can get away with stuff, and that wasn't the case. So after 2 years of that, I just said, I told the other coaches in our program, I said, it would be in the best interest for both of us that one of you guys start to coach him and he hears a different voice. And so I just knew that it was time as a dad to have a different voice and, you know, not be the dad that coaches, because I mean, it could be a negative, and I just felt like it was time to move on after coaching him for 4 years. So
I'd imagine Cross maybe had one or two additional comments after those games, maybe every now and then too. Yeah. And on the way.
Well, there was a lot of games where I got parked in the middle of the bench for doing something. So that's what we. then one thing led to another. So
yeah. Seems like it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it was good.
For the Stars fans that are here tonight, I want to throw some names out and get your overall thoughts on your teammates. Artu Huturu.
Man, he's unreal. That guy's like we kind of call him like a robot, kind of. Like, he's like one of the smartest guys you'll ever meet. And, man, he just plays the game so well, and he's so smart. He's like one of the best face-off guys I've ever seen that I've come through. And obviously, you guys probably saw that towards the end of the year when he was up in Dallas and in the playoffs. Like, he's taking all the big draws, and man, he's just a great kid. And I'm excited to watch him next year for sure, and years to come for sure. He's gonna be great.
The Ritzkovian brothers.
Ritzies, yeah. So funny thing about the big Ritzy was in juniors during COVID, when the Western League wasn't playing, I had to go to the USHL and play for a couple months. And Ritzy auto-shedded me at center ice one game. Big Ritzy. And it was kind of like our little wrestling match at the thing. I had no idea what it was. My first fight I got into. I had no idea what I was doing. And obviously, he's a big, strong guy also, and I had no idea. And last summer when we were like skating, I was like, remember when you jumped me in the center ice? And he's like, no, I don't remember that. What do you mean? So that was pretty funny. But man, he works his tail off, and he's earned everything that he's gotten. Again, another guy I'm excited to watch next year. He's going to be great. And then, little Ritzy came in at the end of the year with us last year, and completely different player. He's smaller, super skilled, super quick. Can find the back now. He's gonna be a really good player for Texas this year. Probably be a guy that puts up a lot of numbers. So,
Trey Taylor.
Yeah, man. He was probably one of my best buddies in Austin. He's a absolute clown. Great guy. I love that guy to death. And man, his skating ability is second to none. Man, he can fly. And don't be surprised if he gets a chance here soon, and he makes that next jump soon too. He's definitely got high-end skating ability. So,
now Pops, when Robert and I went to cover your son, he did a great thing. It was singles night at the game, and I asked Trey Taylor, I'm like, you know, can I use your name? And he's like, nah, man, you're a good guy. Cross, on the other hand, is like, yes. He's like, say I'm your skills coach. So to get something. It didn't work, but it was still nice. Yeah. But I got a tap on the shoulder after the game, and he said, did you get the primary assist?
Yeah.
So it was a beauty. It was
a funny time.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Thank you guys for coming tonight. This has been great. Let's give it up for Cross and Trevor Hannes. Okay, boys. You ready for our next guest? All right. So, you guys watch him on Victory Plus.
Thanks.
He is the Stars pre, in between periods, and post-game host. Come on up, guys. Come on up. Let's give a big round of applause for Brian Ray. And we have one other open microphone, so that means that we can invite one of our other panelists up, whoever wants to do it. Okay. One of my first partners in crime. Spits and Suds is not what it is without this guy, famous for Shap Shots, Elite Prospects. Does a YouTube channel, which I'd highly recommend subscribing to, with this man, called Algorithmically Incorrect.
Got it.
Please welcome Sean Shapiro.
Thank you.
So Lee is the closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're saving Leah to shut it down in the ninth.
Listen.
Okay.
So after Robert and I really messed up the microphones earlier today in the studio, we went to this, so we can't touch them.
No, okay. we absolutely do.
We will find
what
a
happens
way.
When you put riders around electric.
We will
equipment.
Find a way to mess up the microphones.
How was your off season, Mr. Ray?
You guys want some story time here?
Yeah, that's what they're here for. They're here for story time.
Everything ended okay. All right, so there's a good ending to the story. So how was my summer? Do you want to start with the kidney stones and the dog?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so we dealt with that. That was fun. All right, then we came home, had some foundation work done on the house, found out there's a leak under the master bathroom. So, all right, that was cool. And then, don't lose your air conditioning the first week of August.
Oh.
Totally died. So we were living in the Airbnb for 4 days. That was cool. But you know what? Everything turned out okay. Everything's fixed. The house is great. And the best part about all this is the water heater died 2 days ago.
Oh, shit.
So, but I'm having a great summer. How are you doing? How's everybody doing? Everybody having a great summer?
So first you're complaining that it wasn't cold enough in your house. Now you're complaining the water's not hot enough.
Yes.
It's a real Goldilocks situation you got going here.
Buy an older house for the character and the charm. Get a nice little Craftsman with some history to it. No. Get a new build. Up to code. Safe. Modern. You're so glad you invited me.
Yeah, I know.
This is why I don't have a polo.
Listen, guys.
I'm bringing down the whole vibe.
This is free form Brian Ray, right? We like this Brian Ray. We want this Brian Ray.
If Chevy was here right now, he'd be feeding me my lunch.
Okay, so I was thinking about that today because it's interesting when you have the player.
He likes to sleep in. That's why he's not here.
I dealt with that with Ludwig for a number of years where at times I thought Craig was going to take my head off. And my question is how often does that happen? You guys really do have great chemistry.
Oh, thank you. I've never worried that Chevy's going to take my head off. Like Sammy and I understood. He's the older brother. I'm the little brother. And I've said this to a couple people already. I will never out-chirp Sammy. Never. He's too fast. He's too quick. He's too good. I will never out-chirp him. But I am going down in a blaze of glory. Bon Jovi style. I'm going down like Tony Montana at the end of Scarface, even though I'm going to get out-chirped by Sammy.
Nice. Okay. All right. And my other simple question that probably no one cares about except me.
Right.
Do you keep the clothes that you wear on the broadcast?
Well, we're business casual. So, like, no, I haven't worn a suit for a season and a half.
What I'm saying is I really like that gear.
Yes.
And a lot of times I see you wearing something and I say, we're about the same size and maybe you could give me a couple.
Indochino in Knox Henderson. Kelly's the manager. You tell her Brian sent you.
Okay. That's like, hey, have Stars gear?
Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the swag, the white.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the suits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's like we get before the season we get like a little star swag bag for the on air people.
Yeah.
Texting Kelly right now.
Yes. It's hey, Tyler Sagan's bought a couple of suits from Indochino and Knox Henderson as well. So.
Well, what I'm saying is how do we spread the love?
What's the referral code here, Brian?
We need
to know the referral code so you get your kickback.
I don't have a referral code. I'm not an influencer.
B-Ray,
I can't put the save 20% with my referral code on my Instagram account.
Okay.
You know, and then I get my 7-cent kickback or whatever that is if you purchase. No, just you know, but that's where I got the suits from. No, the swag comes from the Stars.
Okay.
And yeah, they like those white pullovers.
Nice.
Those things are so cool.
Yeah, really.
Oh,
nice.
And they are so warm. Yeah, that was Stars gear.
Okay.
But I don't know if they're going to put them for sale in the merch side or not.
Okay.
That's above my pay grade.
All right. What is in your pay grade? Let's talk about this season, your thoughts going into the season, your keys on how this Stars team can make a run.
Look, they're up against the cap. We all know that. Losing Maverick Bork hurts your depth. This is, and Jim Neal has said this, feels like he says it every year. We're all on Robertson watch. That's going to be the number one storyline again entering the season is will Jason Robertson be here long term? Those two will have to figure it out, but I think we're going to learn a lot between January 1 and the NHL trade deadline. We're going to learn a lot about that situation. As for on the ice, because they're up against the cap, okay. Maybe the depth hurts a little bit. You have to replace the 20 goals for Maverick Bork, but you're also banking on if Nils Lundqvist is 10% better, if Thomas Harley is the Thomas Harley from 2 years ago and not last season, if Leon Bischel is 10% better, if Tyler Myers is 10% better just from a comfort factor being here, if Jake Ottinger is, say, 10% more consistent, if you can sprinkle that whole as greater than the sum of its parts internally, then you're right there once again. And also, if you're 100% healthier than what they were entering the playoffs last year, then we're having the same conversation of, okay, we'll see what Colorado does, we'll see what Dallas does, we'll see what Minnesota does. Somebody else is going to make noise in the Central this year. I don't know if it's Utah, I don't know if it's St. Louis, but it just, there's going to be somebody else that I think makes a little bit more noise, because every year it feels like this division gets a little bit tighter in terms of its competitiveness. But this is a year of internal growth. They're gonna, Oscar Beck, you know, from a bottom six checking forward perspective. Ritzkovian, same thing. If all those players can get 10% better, then I think you feel really good where this team is at. If that doesn't happen, combined with losing a player like Maverick Bork and maybe some of your depth, you know, getting dinged a bit, you know, Alex Petrovic is gone as a seventh D-man essentially, then you wonder what kind of grind this could be in the Central Division. That's kind of what hangs in the balance for me.
You know what I love about you, Spits and Suds listeners? Every time Colin Blackwell scores a goal, you guys tweet at me, and I absolutely love it. Because you didn't mention Colin Blackwell. That's my guy.
That's your guy?
That's my guy.
Yeah, but I always mention everybody loves a fourth line goal.
You do mention that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Everybody loves a fourth line goal.
You do.
So I'm there with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You like them Harvard boys, huh?
I do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a good guy, plays hard, scores big goals. Every time he's on, he's an energy guy.
Yeah.
Sean knows I'm an energy guy kind
of
guy.
A lot of energy. A lot of energy.
Yeah.
Can I put Brian on the spot?
What's that?
Can I put Brian on the spot?
Please do.
Where's Joel Kiviranta lineup in game one?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. First of all, he's got to play opening night for sure, just for the ovation alone.
I saw at least one Kiviranta jersey out here, so yes,
clearly. And also so Shippy can rip off that that Finland radio call of his overtime winner.
This is not live radio. You can say the word.
Yeah.
Oh, but you can also go with the full F word if you would like.
No.
You're allowed to.
This is a family restaurant.
I'm keeping it family. Listen, you're the dirtbag over there.
You want to? I see young ears.
I'm causing trouble.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I say never. I've seen like multiple kids walking around. And you're sitting here saying rip off F bombs.
Dad says it's okay. I see the thumbs up.
Oh yeah.
He said it's fine. He hears it at home all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's probably on that fourth line.
You think so? I have him on the third.
Maybe the third.
I don't. I honestly think that's one of the questions that we have is depth scoring. Like, it's going to be, but at the same time, I mean, you're right. It's a salary cap year. Whereas next year it opens up.
I'm curious what you guys think, but the depth scoring being what it is, I've always had a greater concern. I feel like they've always missed Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
Now, you don't sign him to that contract that Toronto signed him to. They're regretting that right now. But ever since he's been gone, they've been trying to find a way to get that meatiness back into their top four, or that consistency back in their top four. And you hope, like, that's why I go back to Nils Lundqvist and having that 10% improvement. He finally got a fair, consistent chance to play, and he ran with it. Now can you build on it? Totally different player than Chris Tanev, but it's more than anything, just the consistency and impact from that second pair on the right side. I feel like every year Jim is trying to find a way to adjust that a little bit, whether it's Tanev, whether it's Cody Ceci, whether it's Tyler Myers, and the salary cap comes into play. You can't just willy-nilly go get whatever big-time contract you want. So he's been trying to work at it as manage it as easily or as efficiently, that's the word I'm looking for, as possible. That's the biggest thing for me is this group of six enough, or do you have to find a way to thicken up that second or third pair? And Leon Bischel can answer that question if he has 10% improvement.
Well, that's a really interesting one, Leon Bischel. You would hope that in the next year or two he could become a second-line defenseman. But
that'd be, yeah.
It'd be ideal.
It certainly would.
I said I'm curious what everybody else thinks, and then I just sucked all the wind right out of the panel.
T
TV guy. TV guys, man.
What he said. What he said, right? Yeah.
TV guys, man.
He's the talent.
So you would say the top concerns would be left wing depth?
My top concern is always going to be that middle pair on the defense.
Okay.
Even left wing depth, absolutely.
But Harley and Lundqvist would be your...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. What about
if you're back to another 15 goal season or whatever, or 10 to 15 goals from Thomas Harley, that's a great second wave to push out behind the Miro Lindell top pair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then whether it's a shutdown type role on that third pair with Bischel and Myers or whatever, but just it just felt like there was a lot of inconsistency. Harley had a tough year.
Yeah.
I think he would tell you there was some inconsistencies in his season. If that consistency comes back, now he's looking like the Four Nations guy that was running some stuff around. Your thoughts, Robert?
Well, you talked about how they're still missing Chris Tanev, and I think leading up to getting Chris Tanev, they've been looking for a Chris Tanev for a few years, too. I'm curious all of you guys, we're in Texas at one point, but why have the Stars not been able to consistently get that second pairing, especially a righty? Why have they not been able to find a Chris Tanev either before or since? What has been the issue with finding someone in that role over the last decade? I mean, Jim Knowles' basically entire tenure.
Get in there, Sean.
How many Chris Tanevs are there?
Yeah.
Last I checked, only one, unless you count Brandon Tanev.
Okay, but when you're looking at that mold of player, realistically speaking, you look around the league, mm-hmm. if you were to say, hey, we need a Chris Tanev type, 25 teams are probably saying that right now.
And also, where do you pick up a Chris Tanev type? You pick him up in the draft.
Yes.
Where has Dallas been drafting recently since they've been pushing for a cup? They've been giving away draft capital. You look at the guys who are playing in Cedar Park, and I'm going to check and see if Cross is still over there. But, a lot of those guys, it's not blue-chip prospects on defense at the blue line. I like Luke Chris just fine, Trey Taylor, but they're not pushing to be a middle-pairing guy right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you just haven't had that blue-chip-level guy in Texas for a while. I mean, think about Esa Lindell might be the last guy who, Liam Bischel, Esa Lindell.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Bischel, but
That's the last time that's really happened. Mm-hmm. And so you need a draft and develop strategy to develop a Chris Tanev, because you're going to overpay if you find him on the free agent market.
That's the other thing. They had Chris Tanev at $2.5 million.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
where do you find him at $2.5 million?
What a trade that was, too. Yeah. Two second rounders.
Great trade. And once again, if you're that player at that age and Toronto offers you that contract, I mean, go.
I hear taxes had something to do with it, too. I don't know. No one really wrote about it.
A little bit.
Yeah. Are we going too into the weeds? Are we talking about the third string quarterback in football if we mention Capo Bianco becoming instead of others?
If only we had someone here who knew something about Capo Bianco and had been watching him during his entire Stars tenure.
No, we don't.
At both levels.
We don't have any of that.
Yeah, if only.
Kyle Capo Bianco was also 29, I think.
He's not a long-term solution,
right? That's not a development situation anymore. I was just looking over stuff because preseason games are coming up. But what is it? It's Bertucci?
Yeah,
Martino, are those the two?
Well, Eric Martino's on forward.
He's a forward. That's right. All right. So is Bertucci kind of the guy? Because even Trey Taylor's a college kid, so he's probably 25 this year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Luke Chris is also a college guy, so a little older, right? But Bertucci is a guy that they drafted, a second rounder, I believe. And he's the best chance that they have to develop an in-house solution.
Yeah.
But, he did fine last year. He didn't light the world on fire, though.
Is that his first year in the American League last year?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You couldn't tell. There are certain guys you just see when you are there and you're looking, I see something right there. I can tell. Liam Bischel, first night.
Well, it's hard to miss.
True. And it was hard to miss for the opposing forward. He crushed a guy in the corner in his first game, and I was like, so that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And obviously you guys are familiar from the game he plays up in Dallas. It's he can do that, but he's found a way to harness it. Those things, you can tell that he has an opportunity to become a guy at this level, but they don't have as many of those.
Well, and the Bischel thing also goes back, and this is a player development path thing. It's one thing to do what Liam Bischel does in 15 minutes a night. there's a big element when you talk about player growth and moving things up, right? Everyone says, like, hey, this guy should play more, this should do this. Like, there are certain players that you can't feed 18, 19 minutes to, right? And I hope that, like, you look at the long-term projection for Liam Bischel, and you really hope that Bischel has that, where you're like, hey, you can ramp him up to a 18, 19-minute game. And can he still play his same game at 18, 19 minutes with the wear and tear? Because it's just like a, it's equivalent to like an offensive lineman in football, right? Like, you're going to go, and when he's throwing 300-plus hits, he is also in those 300 car crashes himself as well. And it's the... And so it's he's a fascinating case study as players get... Like, you look at, like, Chara's career. If you go through, and obviously Hall of Fame career and everything like that, you look at Chara's early career, ran around a little bit more, and then obviously became more of that stoic, menacing, carry big stick, speak softly type deal. And that's kind of where things go when you look at Bischel, and obviously it's easy to go to a Hall of Famer, but that's just... That's the example I'm going to use because that's the lesson and where things have to go with Bischel. I don't know. Like, we don't know if he's going to be able to be that second pairing usage guy. I really hope he is because I think he's a really, I think there's a lot there. But that's one of the big kind of, I don't know if you can find that out this year. You can try and maybe push into that a little bit. But that's kind of a huge long-term question for the Stars, especially in a cap world where you're trying to figure all this out. Is Liam Bischel going to be... In 2 or 3 years, is he going to be able to play 21 minutes in the way he plays? Or are we going to get kind of Liam Bischel light? And I don't really... And then you kind of run into some problems.
Well, the encouraging thing to me about Bischel is thinking back to, 2012, I think, when Jamie Oleksiak made his debut. And that's a player where he had the size, but didn't have a lot of that other crunching... The stuff, he wasn't using his size the same way Bischel can do very naturally. Well, I think the transition from being physical in that big frame to also being able to figure out how to play more minutes and scale up is a lot easier of a transition in theory than it is to teach a player like Oleksiak how to become a player who can use that frame, which he took a while for him to really learn how to do.
Yeah, he played a lot smaller than his body would have suggested, right? And just didn't become that player, you know, when he translated that level. And, you know, Brian and I saw this for years, and Sean as well, too. There's an element of this, too, where you talk about those quad A players, you know, those guys who are...
Yeah, 4A guys.
Yeah, they're guys who, you know, they light the world on fire in the AHL. And then when they're given the opportunity in the NHL, they're playing different types of minutes. And so it works the same way backwards, right?
Capobianco, great example.
Capobianco, or Travis Morin, or someone like that. Yeah. Travis Morin isn't going to be 1PP, right? He's not that guy in Dallas, but he was that guy in Texas, so that's a place he can really feast. If he gets 11, 12 minutes a night with the Dallas Stars on the fourth line, which your job is not to go out there and score goals, it's to not get scored on and get the heck off the ice, right? So it's a different sort of usage, and that means that your role changes. And the players that, like, you know, you guys are gonna have loved over the years seeing in Texas, and you see them light it up, and you see a point per game player, and you're like, why is that guy not clicking in Dallas? You got to think about the environment around them. It's not just about them scoring goals. It's about who are their line mates, what deployment are they getting, how much usage. All of those things are the reasons why those skills don't translate, and you can think the opposite thing with Bischel too.
Corey Snyder on NHL Network talked about top five goalies with the most to prove in this upcoming season, and he had Jake Oettinger as number one. I disagree with that, but...
Really?
I mean, I'm an Oettinger guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I understand, but I know Jake needs to take an extra step, but I don't think he's the most to prove.
You want to go, Sean?
On the Stars, or what was the...
Just overall in the league.
Out of NHL goaltenders, he's got the most to prove this season?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Bobrovsky in Toronto would be at the top of the list.
I disagree with that.
So I will defend this take on this. So here's where... And Robert and I did radio when we messed up microphones earlier, and I brought this up earlier.
Yeah, I breathed on the microphone and it moved. That's not my fault.
That, to be fair, those microphones were set up. It was a trick, I guarantee you that. Everyone knows how publicly Jake's season ended, not this past season, but the year prior, right? With the public benching, led to Pete DeBoer's departure from the Stars, and then the one of the most embarrassing things Jake has dealt with in his career, sitting there, Ray Ferraro was doing the broadcast right there and everything like that. A lot of times, the whole story coming out of that moment, I'm trying to speak louder because I know that someone said it's hard to hear, so I'm intentionally trying to amp it up a little bit here, so I hope that people can hear us. You respond with the season Jake had, which was not great by Jake's standards. He was just okay. There's a reason he didn't earn the playing time for Team USA at the Olympics. And so when you respond to that benching and that embarrassment with that season, that makes last season even more disappointing for me. Sometimes it's a human thing, right? Whether it's sports or anything like that, you go through a disappointing, embarrassing moment or whatever, and you think, hey, I'm going to dig out, and sometimes then you reverse correct, right? And you kind of hit that like high arc, right? And
especially when you were called out by your former coach,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Before he gets fired. I mean, talk about having something to prove. Yeah.
And so like Jake last season was supposed to be the most to prove, right? Like, hey, you got called out. You got benched.
Prove Pete DeBoer wrong.
Go prove Pete DeBoer wrong. And now Jake went through this past season, and there's whispers, and I'm sure there's people have gone and said, you know what? Well, maybe Pete was right, right? And that's why, so when you talk about most to prove and everything like that, I understand where that's coming from, because Jake has to make up for this past season, has to make up for the events of basically, whether that's not completely on him, but make up for the events of losing to Edmonton and how that all ended. And then on top of that, he is the one player, the one position where the Stars can't do anything else at any of those positions, right? Like, and we're going to talk about Jason Robertson at some point, but the reality is Jason Robertson, whether he is a long-term star or not, there will be money for another forward, right? Like, you can go and work on that spot and improve that spot on defense. We talked about going and trying to get a Chris Tanev. You can go and do that. The Stars have made their bed and basically bet on Jake Oettinger for the long term. And this is the play, and it's nothing Jim Neal can do about it. There's nothing you can really do to do that. So, yeah, he has a ton to prove, because there's no safety net, right? There's no safety net. And after last season, when it was supposed to be, hey, I've got this chip on my shoulder, and it never really popped. I'd have to look through the whole league, like most to prove, obviously that's a, but if you're talking about Jake and the Stars and everything, I don't think it's crazy to say that.
Yeah, I think it's a fair take from Schneider. It's simple math for me. You have a lot of 30 plus win seasons. Just analytically speaking, I think you can see some peaks and valleys with save percentage and goals against average tied up with those 30 win seasons. And it's like, all right, which version is it? And then I think you can make a fair argument, and I'm a Jake Oettinger guy as well. I do believe he is a top 10 goaltender in the NHL.
Absolutely.
I do believe that. But it's the goaltending position. It's the only individual position in hockey that is the focal point. I do think he played a factor in beating Minnesota in six a couple of years ago, and he almost stole that game 7 against Calgary. That goaltender
How long ago was that?
Hold on,
sorry.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hey,
go.
I like
you
this.
Had
come
your
on.
Time.
Go ahead.
You
go
had
ahead.
Your
go
time.
Ahead. Go ahead. Go
this
ahead.
Is good.
Right.
We need it. Drop the mitts.
Hey,
Let's go.
Hold on. I will call Seve right now. I cut his grass every Saturday. So there was that series against Minnesota. There was that game 7 almost stealing the series against Calgary. But besides that, have we had that sensational series stealing moment?
Okay.
That's what I was getting to.
Eh, fine. We just don't have the same chemistry that you and Brent Severn have. We're still waiting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of awesome chemistry.
If there's a little bit more of that, especially later in the playoffs, because that's the other thing. You're going through the grind. Your playoff run's getting longer. That backbone has to hold up. If you can get into a little bit more of that, then I think that's where the narrative starts to change around him. Now you're the money goaltender. You're the big-time goaltender. You're the guy that shows up. And he has showed up at times. You just want to see a little bit more of it if you're going to go from a top 10 to maybe a top 8 goaltender or a top 5 goaltender.
So, that was a great take. I love how you're bringing it
tonight. Before I was rudely interrupted.
I know.
It's all right. You guys can team up because I have my new teammate on this panel.
Yeah, with the closer's in. Let's go. Yeah.
That's right. Let's give the proper introduction. I mean, if we just went by what she does with SMU, we'd think she's amazing. But she also covers our Dallas Stars for the Dallas Morning News. She is awesome. Let's welcome Leah Simakopoulos. Okay.
Sick t-shirt. Sick t-shirt. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You did. You're representing. I absolutely love that. Okay. So give me your thoughts on Jake Ottinger. And then for the panel, if that's the case, should we see a little bit more of Casey DeSmith?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. My thoughts on the whole Jake situation, kind of dating back to the Pete stuff that Sean brought up, is, sorry, can you hear me?
There you go.
There we go. I feel like a lot of this has just kind of been, and I'm going to kind of twofold here. I think a lot of it's been kind of blown up in this national storyline of Jake Ottinger has so much to prove, whereas here in Dallas, I do feel like, yes, I know there's a lot of fans that maybe don't think he's the right guy, but I think within the organization, they feel like he's their guy, and they feel like he has proven a lot. Maybe it was a couple years ago where he had his, you know, his peaks, but maybe it hasn't been a whole series, but he's had his moments. And I think that, you know, sure, he has opportunity to grow. Jim Neal kind of put it out there at the end of the season when he said he needs to be more consistent. That kind of stood out to me. Yeah. I didn't expect Jim to say that. Jim will kind of go to bat for his guys. So I thought that that was, you know, telling. But I don't think that, you know, this whole narrative of, you know, Jake Ottinger has been nothing but a disappointment and Pete DeBoer was right. Like, I think that that isn't true. And I think that people need to be careful what they wish for, because if Jake Ottinger goes and gets traded somewhere else, like, what's the alternative? I think that Casey DeSmith has shown a lot and maybe does deserve to be used a little more, but I don't think that he's a starting goalie for this team right now. So, you know, I think that Jake kind of gets a lot of pressure put on him and he puts it on himself, and I don't think that people kind of always take into account that he understands as well kind of what he needs to do. I think this year will be telling, though.
Then I throw this out to the panel. The goalie can only do so much compared to other teams with maybe better defensive cores.
Sure.
Or I just personally feel as though the Stars goaltenders get a lot more pressure than maybe some other teams' goaltenders.
Sure.
That's just my perception.
Sure. By top eight contenders. I think that's an important line here,
thank
right?
You.
Like
yeah.
We talk all of the time, and that's good, right? Like expectation. And this is where it comes back to. We talk about Jake and having to prove things and everything like that. The big thing is Jake Ottinger has been a tremendous NHL goalie. Yep. He has not been a failure in any sense of the word, but the reality is for this team and for what his expectation and his contract and everything is, you got to play. You have to be a top five, top seven goalie in the world. And I think when you look at the Stars defense corps, if you were to go, hey, rank the top 32 defense corps, like if you were to name a team at random, there's probably 25 teams that would at a snap trade their defense corps for the Stars, no questions asked. But the problem, it's just the issue, and the Stars issue has been, obviously not this past year, they were done in round one, but the past couple years in the final four has been the defense corps that have gotten that 16th victory have been that much a little bit better, right? And so, like, Gavin, when you say, like, Jake's under fire more than others and everything like that, it's so easy to look at it compared to, okay, what does it look like for the goalies in Carolina? Or what does it look like for the goalies? What does it look like for them in Florida? Obviously not last year with the injuries. And I think that's one of the things that we have to remember, where there's a line of expectation for the Stars, that, and with expectation comes pressure and extra, and that's a privilege, right? But at the same time, if you want to be judged against the other 32 NHL teams, they're fine. If you want to be judged against the top four or five teams in the league, and the goal is to be that team that's celebrating in June, we have to be more critical. And I think that's where this all comes down. This goes back to Jake's point. Like, Leah makes a great point where Jake is not a failure. He's been a very good NHL goalie and everything like that. But the reality is, everything about this team is, oh, they're all in, they're going to win, and everything like that, and that's the goal. And when you are very public about that with your actions and how you look at things,
that's where we kind of get this extra, okay, we have to take the extra microscope. It's fun, right? Like it is fun. Like it's more fun to be talking about the differences between being a top eight team in the league and a top four team or a Stanley Cup champion. And that's a lot of fun, but it also comes with some, it changes your view of what the world is. Like, there's a lot of other franchises that I've said this before would kill to have the Dallas Stars problems too. So I think that's an important context that we always kind of have to remember here with us too. When you talk about like, hey, Jake faces like, you know what? I'm sure Jake would not like to play behind the defense in Seattle. I'm sure Jake would not like to play behind a bunch of other defenses right now. So it's, push on that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I want to throw this out to you guys because interesting to hear from the fan base. And then our panel will respond.
Everybody shout your answers all at once, as loud as possible.
No, just do it by applause. If you disagree with this, then don't applaud. How many of you would like to see Jason Robertson sign a long-term deal here?
Yeah. That's good. That's good. People are happy.
That's interesting. Brian Ray.
Why do I always get called out first?
Because you're our special guest.
Were you going to also put it on the people to say who doesn't want him to sign a long-term deal?
I mean, we were going to go by lack of applause, but we'll do that.
I don't know.
By applause, how many people think that this should be the last year of Jason Robertson? Okay, we got some people.
Now we have data.
We know the three people who had their cat run over by Jason Robertson in his previous time here in Dallas now.
He would never do that to a cat.
No, he loves cats too much.
Jason would never run over a cat.
That's true, yeah. Dog.
Part three of this Q&A, but there are no promises, but if I say to you, no Jason Robertson, but I'm giving you three high-quality players in return for that, how many people want that instead? Okay, so it's... Listen, people in this audience want Jason Robertson here for a long time.
They love a homegrown guy.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's important. So I am going to start with you because you're our special guest, Brian.
Sure. I think everybody here has been a special guest.
Yeah.
But I love how you single out the team employee. If I say something wrong about Jason Robertson, I'm going to get a phone call from Brad Albert saying, what are you doing, man?
Tell Brad to call me. We always have great chats.
No, look. So what was the question? Jason Robertson long term?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll be honest with you. I was going back and forth for a while, depending on the number.
That's the big thing for me. Mm-hmm. What's the number going to be? And that's why I think January 1 up to the trade deadline. And Jim even said this in our press conference with him after they announced the one-year deal, and Leah, pipe in here because you were there as well, but they've talked, he has spoken about every possible scenario with Jason Robertson and his camp. So there's a lot of information that both sides have for what each side wants, what each side needs, and is there any carryover where they can find the sweet spot in the middle. So we're going to learn a lot in that first three-month segment of the new year as to whether there could be a long-term possibility with Jason Robertson here. For me, it comes back to the number, because I do think watching the way the NHL has handed out their Stanley Cup trophies the last handful of years, you cannot kill your depth by getting too top-heavy. Toronto. Been too top-heavy. Colorado got their cup. You could argue they're still a little too top-heavy. Florida's finding a way to keep guys under market value. Carolina just won this year. That is a team that has been built through depth. It's been built through their four lines and their pairs. But Vegas, same thing when they won their cup. If that number gets too high, you're going to handcuff Jim Nill's ability to strengthen that bottom six. And also, I mean, this is Glenn Gullitson's second year. So now you have 1 year of data of how does Glenn Gullitson want this team to play, and do you have the right bodies in the right places to get to where he believes his team can be at? There's also that. I mean, you are trying to massage this team and the identity of your new head coach as well, second-year head coach. That's where it's always going to be about the number for me. And we're seeing the market change. I mean, $18 million players now.
Yeah.
I mean... I don't think you can do that, personally. I don't think that can happen.
Agreed.
I do think that this offseason, as much as we didn't learn a lot, it was telling in certain ways, kind of from both sides. Like, Jim Neal really stood his ground. I mean, it was very clear that he was not going to budge on his number, and his number was $12 million, and that was what they agreed to for their one-year deal. So I do think that he's kind of learned from his past decisions and maybe, okay, we can give someone a little bit more here, but it comes and bites them later. So I think that he's going to walk away if he has to walk away. But on the flip side of that, it surprised me, the whole messaging of Jason Robertson wants to be a Dallas Star. And, you know, some people might disagree with that and say that he could have taken a more team-friendly deal now, or, you know, could have signed an eight-year deal now and he can't get eight now, whatever. But if it was all about the money, he would have signed in Seattle, like, or he would have gone somewhere else, mm-hmm. and he would have taken an offer sheet, whatever. So I think that if they can, I think that they want to find a way to make it work. I think it's going to be, as Brian said, a lot of telling and difficult conversations between January 1st and March, whatever it is.
It's always the first week of March,
yeah.
whatever the date is.
I think it's
is.
A Monday this year, which is different. So whatever that date is. But, yeah, it's going to be a big storyline. And, I'm just curious of how is this going to impact the team? What's it going to look like? How do people feel about it? How does Thomas Harley feel about his position in this team right now? There's a lot of up-in-the-air things heading into this season, and it was just a weird off season, and I think it just feels very unsettling going into this year. Nothing's really resolved.
Well, one of the things we talked about, Robert, was people were wondering, will he sign or will he not? But all you saw Jason Robertson at the World Cup. You saw Jason Robertson spending a lot of time.
Yeah, like every game of the World Cup.
Every game of the World Cup. He was at Rangers games.
I mean, he made a lot of money before the $12 million deal. I think he's not hurting for money to go to World Cup
point,
games.
My point is that he stayed here.
The point is, the tickets were overpriced for the World Cup, Sean.
Yes. This is what I've been saying. FIFA.
He gave every indication that he likes Dallas.
He did. But I keep coming back to the fact that we saw a very similar situation with a player who is with one franchise who scored a lot of big goals for them in Mikko Rantanen in Colorado. Mikko wanted to be in Colorado. He was pretty honest about that. He did not think he was going to get traded. Ultimately, it was negotiations. He was going into the final year of his deal, just as Jason Robertson is doing before unrestricted free agency. And you could tell he was not expecting to get traded to Carolina when he did in mid-January. Jason Robertson, by all accounts, wants to be in Dallas. It's just a numbers thing. They have to figure it out. But if you get to a similar point in mid-January with, you know, what, 6-7 weeks before the trade deadline, and you're Jim Neal, you probably have to look at making a similar decision as Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic did 2 years ago with Mikko Rantanen. That's just the reality of it. Everything can line up because exactly what Leah said, by all accounts, it seems like he wants to be here. Everything we've seen is if the number is workable, that it should work. But we've seen it happen before where a player wants to be there. And if the math doesn't work, the math doesn't work, and it stinks in the short term, but you have to be prepared for that eventuality. Colorado can live with getting Natchez in the package they got, although it stung a little bit. I think something happened the spring after that trade. I can't recall exactly, but I think Mikko Rantanen did something in the playoffs.
I believe there was more goals in one period than Marty Natchez had in entire two postseasons.
Two postseasons combined,
Do you think if you're Jim Neal, you think back to that and say, okay, if I'm going to trade Jason Robertson, it's got to be a sign and trade, and he's got to commit 8 years to somewhere so that he doesn't get flipped just like Mikko Rantanen did and ends up at a Colorado or somewhere like that?
If you're any GM with a player like that and you want the return you want,
of course.
In today's NHL, no team's making the deal unless they have the contract in place.
Yep.
So,
but I also think if we're talking monetary, it has to do with timing as well. Because I think a lot of us say, like, oh, all of a sudden, like, okay, we cannot pay Jason Robertson more than Mikko Rantanen. But now we're looking at Kaprizov, we're looking at Cutter Gauthier, we're looking at all these young kids, and the price keeps going up. My point is that...
So it's the kids that are the problem, you're saying.
Why can't you? Because if you look...
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the cap is going up. It's kind of a product of when you sign your contract.
It's the timing more than the comparison.
Jim Neal admitted when they had the press conference after Robertson signed that they were not working on an internal cap.
Yeah.
They were not. Take him at his word. Don't take him at his word. But he publicly said there was not an internal cap in place that they were dealing with. we all want the answer now because it's juicier stories, but it's, once again, I love simple math. Jason Robertson gets to decide this season whether his market value is going up, staying the same, or going down.
Yeah.
He's got full control over that. Jim Nill is going to do whatever he deems is best for the future of the Dallas Stars in trying to win a Stanley Cup. And then Jason Robertson, when he's a UFA at the end of the season, gets to decide what are the most important factors of my future hockey career beyond this year. They're either going to find some chemistry and some crossover there, or they're not. And we're going to learn in real time, like I said again, come around that first half of 2027, where everybody's at on all this.
You're an absolute beast, man. I say it on the podcast. You're great at your job.
Well, everybody else is too good at their job.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Your check's in the mail, all right? I told you that before we came
on. I'm not a good host. I just, these guys make me popular. So.
No, it's nice to hear you say that, because you were saying the opposite about Brian the other day. So this is nice that you've kind of been won over.
I would see, that's I would agree with that. That would not surprise me.
I multiple times have told Brian, I texted Brian during his issues and said, come live with me. Did I not?
You did. You did offer your house up to us.
Yes.
As the workers were installing the new AC.
Yeah, I know. I was totally late to the party, but, you know. Yes. Thank you so much for making the trip up to Boomer Jacks. Hey, everybody, warm round of applause for Brian Ray.
Well, I also feel a little guilty because I just looked back and I went, wow, I just had this whole AC conversation and plumbing conversation in front of the
almost said
experts.
Yeah. I almost said
sorry,
something.
Sorry, sorry, guys.
100% the on-time experts, yes. You would have been.
Look at that segue, though. I teed you up.
I mean, you would have been a customer for life. I know I am. You can, too. I won't name the specials right now, but there are a bunch of them, Brian. Thank you again for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.